Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening. Every Sunday night, this time, on Bible Crossfire, we try to give the truth. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I think we have a caller. We're going to go ahead and take that caller. Don from Iowa, you're on the air. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, around here we have 10 or 11 churches that have women preachers. Can any good come from these churches? Is the Holy Spirit even there? That's the question.
Well, first of all, Don, for the sake of the audience, let's read a passage that shows that women preachers is not scriptural. Here's how 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35 reads. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, is that clear or vague, Don?
It's really clear. There should not be women preachers. There's no doubt about it.
Really clear. Let's go to another passage, just in case some people have some doubts. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Don, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Does that sound like women preachers are scriptural or not scriptural?
They're not. There's no doubt they're not supposed to be women preachers. Right. The question I have is, can any good is the Holy Spirit in a church like that that has women preachers?
Well,
I don't think
so. Let me put it this way. No, let me put it this way. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He wrote these two passages that say a woman is not to speak in the church, that a woman's not to teach over a man. He wrote both those passages, right, the Holy Spirit. So if a woman claims the Holy Spirit called her to preach, what they mean by that is that the Holy Spirit told her she should be a preacher, told her she should preach. Who should we believe, Don? The Bible that says that women should not speak in the church, not teach over men, or should we believe a lady when they say God told them, the Holy Spirit told them to preach?
Well, that's obvious. You believe the Bible.
Yeah, because we know the Bible came from God. We won't have any clue about whether or not the woman is correct because, number one, she could be lying. Number two, she could be self-deceived.
Yeah.
Number three, she could be influenced by something other than the Holy Spirit. All of those things are possible, but the one thing that's not possible is that the Holy Spirit told her to preach in the church. Because the Holy Spirit has clearly said in the Bible not to. Now, the reason I keep saying in the church is because we're not saying that a woman can never teach the Bible, because passages like Titus 2, verse 4, verse 3 is talking about the aged women, and it says in verse 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, so forth. We're not saying that they can't teach at all. That's not it at all. They can teach ladies' Bible classes, they can teach children, but when the whole churches all come together into one place, as 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23 sets forth, then verse 34 and 35 says they're not to speak in the church. So I like to tease this way. A woman is not to speak in the church. It doesn't say she can't speak in Burger King. You know what I'm saying, Don?
Yeah.
So, but we know what we mean normally when we say a woman preacher. The Bible clearly says this is wrong. Woman preachers are wrong. Yet, Don, you're right. You say there's about 10 or 12 churches like that. My guess is probably 80% of the churches, I mean by that congregations, if you just drive down the road anywhere in America and you see a church on the side of the road, you drive a little further, you see another church. 5 miles down the road, you see another one. All the churches in the United States, 80% of them would allow a woman to preach from the pulpit, but the Bible is clearly against it.
Yeah, so the Holy Spirit's not there, so these churches are more or less just wasting their time.
They're wasting their time. They're wasting their time. Let me give you a verse to help us to see that. While I'm turning to 2 John verse 9, Don, give me your opinion on why so many churches allow women to preach when the Bible is so clearly against it. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, it didn't used to be like that, but now it's just they don't want to offend anyone, and they're letting homosexuals be preachers too. It's just everything's getting worse and worse, and that's just the way it is.
Okay, I guess you're saying they're allowing women to preach, and even some churches are even allowing gay preachers and members and weddings because of political correctness. That's what it is, the pressure.
Yep, you got it.
Here's the verse I was turning to. 2 John verse 9, Don says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And so this passage says that we have to abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. If we don't, we don't have God. Now, Don, can we go to heaven if we don't have God?
No.
Now, when a church allows women to preach from the pulpit or approves of gay marriage, are they abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ?
No, obviously they're not.
So you're right. They're just wasting their time, because even though they say they believe in Jesus, even though they say that they believe the Bible, they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. 2 John verse 9 says they don't have God. You can't be saved that way. So they may be going through the motions of practicing their religion, going to church, but since they're not following what Christ said, they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. Verse 9, they don't have God. They can't be saved. So, yes, it's just simply a waste of time. It's worse than a waste of time, Don, because not only are they wasting their time, but they're influencing others.
Yep, they're deceiving.
They're influencing others, and they're causing people to be lost because they're influencing others in the wrong way.
I've seen now there's even around here, there's even women that say they're elders. So that's how mixed up everything's gotten.
Yeah, you know, we read a passage a while ago that we emphasized the part in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 about the women not to teach over the man, but that's not all it said. It said, "I suffer not," and that's a King James way of saying, "I allow not." "I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man." So in situations where you have leadership positions, the man should be the leader, because it says the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. Let me also turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Don, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, head, your head, this, it's an analogy, your head is the boss of your body, right? It takes the leadership position. It tells the rest of your body what to do. This is saying the head of Christ is God the Father. The head of man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And so man should take the leadership position. This would apply anywhere, really. It applies in the home. The husband should be the head of the family. In church, only a man should be an elder, because an elder is a leadership role. And so because of that, the elder is a leadership role, and then only the men should take the leadership role. They're the head over the women. Women should not be elders. And that's why we can see in a passage like 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it talks about a bishop, and a bishop and an elder and a pastor are just three names for the same thing in the Bible. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. It doesn't say the wife of one husband. It says the husband of one wife, and the reason is that the bishop or the elder, pastor, is a leadership role, and since the woman should not usurp authority over the man, the head of the woman is the man should take that leadership role, not the woman. Don, good point. I'm glad you brought that out.
Yeah, I've asked a woman about that, a preacher, and she just said that she didn't think that was supposed to be in the Bible. Otherwise, if you try to explain it to them, they just hang up on you, or they won't even talk to you. They get mad at you. So
yeah,
I don't think it's going to get any better either. So
no, probably not. Sometimes I run into people that will, because they don't like the teaching of some of these passages, like that Paul wrote and things like that. They'll talk about Paul. They don't really accept what Paul says, just what Jesus says. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 14:37, which is just two verses after where Jesus said a woman's not to speak in the church. In verse 37, Paul said, If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are writing to you are the commandments of the Lord. So what Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord. And that jives with what Jesus said while he was still on earth. You remember, Don, in a passage like John chapter 16, 13. This is right before Jesus is to die. And he's trying to encourage the disciples. And he tells them, I'm going to have to leave, but I'm going to send a comforter. And he says, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, this is John 16, 13, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So God said, Jesus said, I'm going to leave, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to come, he's going to guide you into all the truth. He's talking to the apostles and the New Testament prophets. You know, and Don, that's the way it's always been. Old Testament, all the way throughout the Bible, New Testament. God didn't just speak to everybody and say, here's what I want you to do, like these women claim. God spoke to me and told me to preach. That's not the way He's never worked that way. He's always spoke through His prophets in the New Testament, the apostles and the New Testament prophets, and then it was their job to get the word out to the people what God had inspired them to say. We see it in a passage like 1 Corinthians 2, when Paul was discussing this. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Ghost told him what to say, and then his job is to then get the word out to the people. God's not going to reveal everything, His law, to all the people. He reveals through His prophets. And that's why Paul could say in Ephesians 3, verse 3, he says, how that by revelation be made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So these apostles and New Testament prophets, God revealed to them the New Testament law. And God, and Paul said, now, I wrote it down, what the Holy Spirit inspired me to say, wrote it down where, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. So the New Testament law has been revealed by the apostles and New Testament prophets, including Paul. And he says, women are not to speak in the church. He says, the women are not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And he basically says that homosexuality is wrong. We could turn to a passage like Romans 1, verses 26 and 27 and see that easily. I'm turning to Romans 1. It says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. So when Paul wrote through inspiration of the Holy Spirit that lesbians were wrong, Romans 1:26, and that gay men were wrong, Romans 1:27, that was just the same as if God said it, because God told him the words to say, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2:13. See what I'm saying, Don?
I don't know how much plainer it can be.
Don, we appreciate your call. Appreciate your call, okay. A whole lot. Hope to talk
Thanks
to you soon.
Thanks for help. Yep, see you. Thanks.
Howard from Canada, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, question. Can a person lose his salvation if you turn your back on God?
Well, let me, Howard, I think you got a legitimate question there and a sincere question. Before I show you some passages, how should we answer that question? Should we just... should it just be what preachers want it to be, or what they think it should be, or should it be what the Bible actually says?
Well, what the Bible says.
All right. I'm glad you agree with that. How about this verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4? The Bible says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, when you were growing up, did you ever climb any trees, Howard?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever fall from a tree, maybe a lower limb?
Yeah, maybe lower, yeah.
Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it? Now, can you fall from a tree if you never were in the tree?
No.
So this verse says these people had fallen from grace. They had to have been in grace, in salvation, or they couldn't have fallen from grace. And when they fell from grace, that means they weren't in grace anymore. They weren't saved anymore. Follow my point, Howard?
I do.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Let me read you another passage. Sometimes people will say, oh, but a true Christian could never quit serving the Lord, but that's not borne out by Scripture. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 first, and then verse 12. In verse 1, we're going to set the stage on who he's talking to here. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." So he's writing Howard to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Would that be Christians or non-Christians?
Be Christians.
Have to be Christians because it's brethren, brethren in Christ, holy brethren. And these are people who have partaken of the heavenly calling. That can only be Christians. But in verse 12, he gives them a warning, Howard. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So he's talking to these Christians, and he warns them, don't develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. I don't think he would have warned them about that if that weren't possible. Would you, would he, Howard?
No. He definitely warns us all the time.
I have a friend who has this funny illustration. He says, you don't see any, you know, we have road signs here in North Alabama, but you don't see any road signs that say, "Beware of sharks." You know why we don't see any road signs, "Beware of sharks" in North Alabama?
We're not in the ocean.
Yeah, we're not anywhere close to the ocean. And so we're smart enough not to put up warnings about something that can't happen. Now, God, in the same way, he's not going to warn us about something that's impossible to happen. Here he clearly warns Christians not to develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. He clearly warns them that, and God is just not going to warn people of things if that were impossible for it to happen, any more than our road people here would put up signs that say, "Beware of sharks" in North Alabama. Now, maybe in Mobile, where there's ocean, you might see a sign out near the ocean that says, "Beware of sharks," but you're not going to see them up here in North Alabama, and you're not going to see a warning in the Bible that says, "Be careful not to lose your salvation, not to fall away," if that's impossible. And we see that warning, I'm guessing, over 100 times in the Bible. Follow me, Howard?
I do, 100 times, okay.
Let me go to one more passage. I'm going to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. You know how we talked about you can't fall from a tree unless you're in a tree? I'm going to make sort of that same point from Revelation 3, 5. Here Jesus is talking to the church at Sardis, and he says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Howard, you old enough that that you had to use it when you were working on a typewriter, and when you made a mistake, you had to blot it out with white out? Or are you too young for that?
No,
remember
I'm
that?
Old enough for that. Oh,
but
yeah.
The young kids don't know about that because they're always typing on computers. But here it says that if he's talking to Christians, he says if they overcome, we could be talking about overcoming temptation, overcoming persecution. If they will overcome, Jesus will not blot their name out of the book of life. Now, Howard, do you remember what the book of life is?
Yes. Yeah.
The book of life is like a book where God has the list of all the names of all the saved people. So here it's talking about people who had their name in the book of life, which means they're saved. But the possibility is that if they don't overcome temptation, their name will be blotted out of the book of life. They are in the book of life. That means they're saved. They're blotted out because they don't overcome temptation. They're not saved anymore. You see how that teaches that once saved, this doctrine of once saved, always saved is false?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's the way I was raised. It was once you're saved, you're always saved. But no, right on.
Howard, thank you for your call.
Thank you. You have a day. God bless.
Same to you. Bill from Illinois, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are talking about once saved, always saved, or doctrine of eternal security. Is it a sin to believe in the doctrine of eternal security? Do you believe it's a sin to believe in that?
Bill, I was reading a passage earlier in the program. I think it was when Don was on the line. In 2 John verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, hath not God." So people that believe and teach, once saved, always saved, they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ because Christ teaches against that. So if they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ, they don't have God, they can't be saved. That shows how serious this is, Bill. Here's what's going on. When you teach, let's say a preacher preaches to his audience regularly the once saved, always saved doctrine, and that is, you guys, once you're saved, you can live any old way you want to, and you're still going to be saved. That's essentially what we're talking about here. What of those audiences, the audience, a lot of them are likely to start living how, Bill? If you keep telling them over and over and over again, you can live any old way you want to and still be saved, how are they going to start living, Bill?
Well, some may start sinning quite a lot, but I would expect that the Lord would rebuke them and call them back and get them in line. He's the Lord.
Yeah. So I agree with you. A lot of them, maybe not all of them, but most of them are going to start living a loose and sinful lifestyle. They're going to start living any old way they want to. Now, the Lord will try to call them back. You're right. Hebrews chapter 12 says the Lord will chasten them if they're Christians and they go off into sin. But I want you to notice that sometimes people refuse to be converted back. In James 5, 19 and 20 presents this exact case for us. It says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him back, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." So here's the responsibility. Let's say there's two Christians, Pat and Joe, and I err from the truth. This says Joe, he's another Christian, his responsibility is to try to convert me back. It says if he's able to convert me back, he saves my soul from death. Which implies then that if he's not successful in winning me back, converting me back, my soul will die. I'll be lost. And so again, that shows that once saved, always saved is false. And if people, again, start living any old way they want to because the preacher has deceived them into thinking they can live that way and still be saved, yes, God will try to call them back through other preaching, but some of them will never be called back. Some will and some won't. And so people will lose their salvation because of this false teaching of once saved, always saved. There may have been more people who have lost their salvation due to that false teaching than any other false teaching that I can think of, because it encourages people to live a loose lifestyle. When you tell them they can live a loose lifestyle and still be saved, then that encourages that, and that's a bad thing. Bill, I'm going to let you go unless you have some important follow-up.
Well, I just wanted to say that I don't think anybody's encouraging anyone to live a loose lifestyle by saying that Jesus has saved you. I don't think that's encouraging anybody to live a
loose lifestyle. All right, thank you. Bill, but let me ask you this. Are you still there? If you let's talk about homosexuality again for a minute. If you say that it's okay with God to be a homosexual, you teach that it's okay, then you're, even though you don't, maybe not, you're meaning to encourage them to be homosexuals, you will. If you tell them it's okay with God and that you'll still be saved if you're a homosexual and you practice that lifestyle, then even if you don't intend to encourage that, you will encourage. The same way with once saved, always saved. You may not encourage. In your mind, you may not be thinking, I'm not encouraging people to live a loose lifestyle. But if you tell them they can live a loose lifestyle and still be saved, then you will encourage them to live that way, whether you intend that or not. That's why this doctrine is so dangerous. We've got to fight this once saved, always saved with our very being. I tease sometimes and make this challenge on the air. I want anybody here to turn to a random page in their Bible and tell me what that random page is, and I believe I can find at least one or two passages on that page that prove once saved, always saved is false. That's how often the proof is in the Bible that once saved, always saved is false. Send me an email about anything, BibleCrossfire@email.com.